Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over the breaking news that most of us have kind of forgot about, or maybe it's been on the back burner because of all the other things that have been in the news that are so important, i.e. Russia, Ukraine. You guys know what I'm referring to. We have forgotten about quantitative easing. Or at least we're not, it's not in the forefront of our minds anymore, maybe. But we've got to understand that according to Zero Hedge, it's officially done. It's over. No more QE. Or at least the tapering has gone all the way down to zero. So, of course, the question becomes, for how long? Probably not long, but let's get into this article from Zero Hedge. QE is officially over. Earlier today, we reminded readers that the Fed transitions from QE to perpetual post-COVID. You know, I think I can actually say, maybe I'll continue to say Cerveza sickness just because it's kind of a thing now. But I think actually, if I just say COVID, I don't think YouTube really will have an issue with that anymore. But maybe we'll just keep doing Cerveza sickness because you guys get it. Kind of an inside joke for the rebel capitalists. Okay, easing to QT and inflation battling tightening. Today would be the final POMO. I don't know what that stands for. I'm guessing it's pandemic open market operations. Maybe some of you guys want to help me out in the chat there. Under the existing QE. So here's a tweet from Zero Hedge. Today at 10:10 a.m. Eastern Time is the last POMO as QE comes to an official end, if only for a few months. I think that's probably the key. And sure enough, 10:30, the 20 minutes POMO operation in which the Fed looked to buy $4 billion in bond maturing between 2024 and 2026 came to a close with QE is officially over. And this is a snapshot of that last purchase of quantitative easing. Maybe some people would want to hang on to that as kind of a memento of what of ancient history. Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far. But continuing on with the article here, it says QE comes to an end after purchasing nearly $6 trillion of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities over the past 2 years. As Bloomberg detailed, the current QE, which we are confident will make a fresh reappearance in months to come. I'm going to get into that in just a moment here. But I just want to continue with this article. Which this QE included 580 separate operations to buy treasuries and 1,200 to purchase mortgage-backed securities, dwarfed all three of the Fed's previous quantitative easing programs combined. Yeah, I think that's something that we tend to forget as well. It is truly unprecedented, taking the Fed's balance sheet to $8.4 trillion. And this is a snapshot of the Fed's balance sheet. So just more kind of data points, but that's really the big news. So then you've got to ask yourself, okay, well, what happens now? I mean, are they going to raise, you know, I thought one thing that was interesting is, or one idea that was interesting is maybe they would raise rates while continuing to do QE, but I guess that's off the table. And I think it's no coincidence that QE comes to an end just before they meet to actually raise interest rates here in a week or two. But the bond market, the yield curve is telling us something different. The yield curve is telling us that they'll most likely start quantitative easing sooner than later, once again. And then I think we've got to ask, what does that mean for gold? What does that mean for CPI? What does that mean for stocks? What does that mean for value versus growth? If the Fed goes through a rate hike cycle, let's call it, of only maybe two or three rates before they go back down to zero, which I think is my base case. We just got to look at just the homepage of CNBC. We'll go to that right now. And we see that today the market is up significantly. Why? Because there's been a lot of talk out of Ukraine that they or maybe at least are attempting some form of diplomacy that could come to fruition, that might be realistic, because Ukraine has said that their entry into NATO is kind of off the table now. And I think that was most likely the biggest sticking point for Putin. Who knows? You know, no one can get in his head. But the market sees those headlines. They see an increased probability that the invasion comes to an end. Let's hope and pray that it does. And therefore, market goes up. So that would tell me that most likely oil, gold down. But let's get into it in just a moment. And whenever I see pictures of Biden, he looks like something's just not right. I don't know, from a health standpoint. Obviously, you don't wish anyone ill health, but it just seems like something's not right there. I don't know. But more importantly, or maybe I don't know if that's more important than someone's health, but on a separate note here, more pertaining to the topic of this video, we look at the market increasing, but yet, or the stock market going up, we see bond yields going up. So the 10-year now at 1.925. But as you guys know, we got to look at the 2-year as well. So that's up at 1.66. So I would have to assume that the yield curve might be steepening a little bit, which would be good, because that would be a signal that the probability of a recession is a little bit lower. At least that's what the market is telling us today. So maybe, I mean, based on just everything that's happening recently, gold going up, the dollar going up significantly. Let's see if we can look at the DXY. That's really important as well. I had the DXY up. Well, I'm not sure. That is important. Let's pull it up real quick here, guys. Wow, dollar really down. That's a big move for the dollar in one day. Wow, that is huge.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level.
Okay, so risk off is what we're seeing right now. Risk off. And that's good news. Let's hope it is for all the right reasons. But I think the probability that we see a disruption, let's call it, and a disorderly disruption in the stock market or on the geopolitical landscape, the probability is high that we could see something like that, especially if the Fed raises rates, not geopolitically, obviously, but what happens here domestically with the stock market and asset prices, that would prompt them to reverse course. And instead of taking this hawkish stance, take a more dovish stance where they re-implement quantitative easing. I think it'll all depend on how far they can push the system before it breaks. And again, I'm not talking about the geopolitical stuff. I'm just talking about what's happening domestically here with the, I always say the economy, but it's not really about the economy. It's about the stock market, because the economy is so tied to the stock market, unfortunately, because all the financialization. So I think that's kind of what the Fed's mindset is, if I had to guess. It's just, let's keep pushing interest rates. Let's see, keep going as high as we can to try to curb inflation until we break something. So the question becomes, will they break something, or at what point will they break something? Is that at 50 basis points? Is that at 75? Is that at 100? I tend to believe that as the debt grows and as the stock market and economy becomes more and more addicted to the Fed being dovish and expanding their balance sheet, the level to which you can raise rates, talking about Fed funds, before something breaks is increasingly lower. So maybe I didn't say that very well, but what I'm trying to say is if the Fed's balance sheet is at 4.5 trillion, and that's the highest it's ever been, and the debt to GDP is, let's say, 90%, and let's say the consumer debt and corporate debt is where it was back in 2019 or 2017, something like that. And let's just say that the line in the sand for breaking something was 2%. It was right around there, maybe 2.25%. Well, because we've added so much to the debt and because the economy, the stock market is so much more addicted to the quantitative easing we've seen since the Cerveza sickness, I would argue that you can't go up to 2 or 2.25 again without breaking something. So now I think the level's lower. Is that 1%? Is that 1.5%? Is it 50 basis points? I don't know. But I find it very hard to believe that we could get back up to 2 or 2.25% because of everything that has happened since then that would trigger something breaking, that increases the probability of something breaking at a lower level of interest. And so base case, guys, I think that's what you want. My takeaway, I think once they get up to maybe 75, 1%, I think something will break and they'll take a more dovish stance. And that means I think the highest probability is we see QE again this year. Maybe the end of the year, maybe going into 2023, but that would be my base case. So we'll have to see how it plays out. Obviously, no certainties, only probabilities. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism, and we'll see you on the next video.